We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Let's go Celtics. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. Odyssey Station.
This hour of the Brian Barrett Show is brought to you by our folks over at Eagle Bank.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, let's go. Andy Hart is with us as well. We're with you until 3, then Red Sox pregame up until 4 o'clock. The Sox go for a series win. 617-779-7937, the number. Have you lost faith in the Celtics? So I want to get two things off my chest real quickly, Andy. And so the first one is this. Enough with the bad camera angles. Why does ESPN have this fixation and this priority to give us bad camera angles? I don't get it. Like, do they just want to show off their fancy camera views? They suck. Yes. Enough of that. What is that about?
I think it is. We have the camera. We paid for it. We have to, you know, show our bosses somewhere that we're using it, that it was money well spent. And I've heard people say, like, it's a video game thing. They're trying to appeal to the younger video game crowd. Well, my son plays video games. He's a teenager. And he and his friends all hate it just as much as we do. So I don't think it's a generational thing or a video game thing in terms of whether it sucks. We've gotten used to watching basketball a certain way, and we don't want to watch it some weird angle where we can't really tell what's going on. Every once in a while, you're in that stupid angle, and you're like, it looks like a guy threw a ball out of bounds. Or like, and then you're like, oh, no, it's just the perception of this, I just almost swore, this crappy camera angle that they're jamming down our throats. Couldn't agree more. Stick it in your pocket and don't use it again.
Well, last time you and I did a show together, I got dumped. Remember, I said a word that rhymes with lick on the air, so I got dumped for that. So it's okay.
Careful.
If you get dumped,
there's
a word
I've learned that's offensive. You know the word for redheads that was the character in Gilligan's?
Be careful here.
The redheaded character in Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Apparently that's an offensive word now. You're not allowed to say it.
Yeah. Be careful, man.
Did you know that?
I'm glad I learned it. I've been called it, man, and I don't even have red hair. Strawberry blonde, pick it up.
Strawberry blonde is different than red.
I'm not offended by it, though, by the way.
But there are people that are offended by
that. Yes, it is different, man. I'm not like scowl. Come on.
You said that like you hold scowl on a lower level because of his hair color.
I don't have traditional red hair like orange hair. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the same color hair that scowl has. I have strawberry blonde.
Why do you push back so hard against it? Would you feel bad if you did have red hair? We're getting into
an issue
here with you. You look down upon scowl because he has red hair.
No,
you think you're better than scowl because he has red hair.
No, I think my basketball takes are better than scowl, but no, I don't. It's just a hair thing with me. Scowl said Marcus Smart's the best defensive player ever. I mean, come on. Like, did he not see Hakeem Olajuwon play? I mean, come on. Pick it up.
Well, that's what a lot of these guys do. Like, who was it? Oh, Grant Williams. Is Grant Williams the best defensive player ever against Giannis? Isn't that Stan Van Gundy said that? Like, these roads.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Goodman tells me that Jason Tatum's the best all-around player in the NBA. Like, everybody has to be the best or the first or the this or the, like, okay, I guess that's how it works in this world. And maybe that's why you and I are doing a Sunday afternoon show, because we don't have those hot takes like everybody else.
I get hot takes, man. I got hot takes upon hot takes. But, oh, the other thing
they're
I just
want stat-based, but they're hot takes.
Yeah, that's true. I call me crazy. I like to back up my argument with facts.
But that's not a hot take. That's the furthest thing from a hot take. If you have actual numerical evidence, that's not a hot take.
Well, then my favorite thing was in the Heat series. People said, oh, the Heat zone is destroying the Celtics. Actually, no. The Celtics were scoring 1.37 points per possession against it. They were shredding it. It didn't work. So
you get off
idiots.
With that, don't you? You get off. Every time you hear a hot take and you know you have a number that absolutely pokes a massive hole in it, you get off.
Yeah, like Pat Beverly saying Tatum's not a good defender. I mean, what an asinine take. But oh, the one other thing about the broadcast, Andy, and this is something that is not unique to this series, but throughout the postseason, and they do it in the regular season as well, but not all the games are national, of course, for the Celtics. These dumbass interviews, I know you like what Ime says and all that. I like that he's like says whatever he's thinking, but I hate how you have the coach on the screen and now the screen of the game is smaller. Why do we do that?
Well, like, everybody has massive TVs now. Everybody
I don't need that.
So
come
big.
On. I don't need that.
I think that's what it is. Like, in the old days when you had, like, a 13-inch screen, they couldn't take up half your screen with an interview because then you actually could not see the ants playing. Now everybody's got a 55, 65, 85-inch television, so they figure, you know, we can break it up into segments.
Oh, and the other thing is the Ime, I don't feel like he's gotten a lot of criticism, so I guess this is kind of a straw man argument. It's just kind of something about myself personally. I'm not going to criticize him too much going forward because he took out Daniel Tice. That was my one big critique early on in the series. Why the hell are you playing that guy, and why is he ever on the floor when Steph Curry's on the floor? And why were him and Peyton Pritchard on the court at the same time at the end of the first and the end of the third quarters, and Curry had two guys to go after? So he eliminated that, and I thought at one point, because we didn't have the traditional Robert Williams that we saw throughout the season, who was a game wrecker. So if we were going to get the version of Robert Williams we saw in the first two games, I felt like, okay, the Celtics cannot play the two big lineup. It wasn't working. But now the two big lineups from the numbers, those have been the Celtics' best lineup. So I trust Ime is going to make the right decisions as it pertains to personnel. And if this is the way they're going to try to deal with Steph Curry, I mean, good luck. It doesn't look like he's cooling down anytime soon, but the Celtics are right in the series. It's 2-2. I don't really have many issues with the coach in the series. The one thing is, though, Andy, and I don't know if this is a coaching point or it's just a leadership point with the team. There's no way that the Warriors in Game 4 should outscore the Celtics in the paint 38-34, should outscore the Celtics 19-12 in terms of second-chance points, and there's no reason that the Golden State Warriors should have a 40% offensive rebounding rate when the leader in the league this year was the Memphis Grizzlies at 38.5%. That crap should not happen when the Celtics are the bigger team. So yeah. I don't know, is that a coaching issue or is that just a player issue? Like, that to me makes absolutely no sense. They should not be getting killed on the boards like that.
I think it's an effort issue. That's where I thought the Celtics were not the hungrier, more aggressive, all-in team the other night. And the points thing in the paint, I think that could have flipped easily if they had, you know, actually tried to get in the paint in the final 5 minutes of the game when they just started jacking up threes. What'd you say, 38-34? Yeah, couple two-point plays there, and you're right even. You wouldn't have lost that. But you decided it was time to shoot anywhere but the paint, well outside of the paint. The rebounding killed them, absolutely crushed them. And I
Andrew
thought
Wiggins,
they were,
man. Like, I how many rebounds that guy going to get? The most of his career.
I thought there were 50-50 balls, as they say in the lacrosse world, that the Celtics weren't 50-50. They weren't all in. They weren't battling for the ball. I did not care for it. I thought rebounding, everybody fixated on the turnovers and the late shot selection. I really thought the rebounding crushed them the other night, and I thought some of it was effort rebounding. I don't think they were all in, especially early on when Rob Williams was healthy. That's, you bring up the Rob Williams health because game two, I thought he looked as bad as he has looked since he's returned. I thought he was literally playing on one leg. They were showing him, like, going up, and he would come down on the other leg, almost afraid to put one leg on the floor. He was almost literally playing on one leg. Then he bounces back, and you're like, that's weird, but I'll take it. I'm glad he's back, whatever they did in between games. And now there's, I think, some uncertainty going into Game 5 whether you're going to get the two-legged Rob Williams or the one-legged. And if you get the one-legged, I feel even worse about this series. Yes, yes, okay. Yes, figuratively.
By the way, I feel
worse.
Yeah, second chance points, I mentioned 19-12 in the last game, but think about game three, it was 22-11 Celtics. So the Celtics are the bigger, more physical team, and I felt like in game three, they really, the Warriors felt them from a size perspective. Mm-hmm. Even Steph Curry after the game was referencing, we know Robert Williams is back there. So that size, really, you used it to your advantage in Game 3. In Game 4, you got beat up, and the numbers would indicate, like, if you just looked at the box score and you didn't know the teams, you'd say the Warriors are the significantly better, bigger team, rather. And that's obviously not the case. So that crap cannot happen. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Steve. He is in Westerly. Steve, what's up, man?
Yo.
Hey, Steve, what's up?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good.
All right. So you guys keep using two words which work right into my wheelhouse, which is finishing and analytics. As for the finishing, you're right. There doesn't seem to be that one guy who can take over and finish the game, and it should be Tatum.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to pick on Tatum because I've loved him since day one. I knew he'd be a good pro, and he is a good pro.
Yeah.
But even within his game, I've noticed that he doesn't – even if he drives to the lane and it gets to the hoop, I've never seen a guy with that talent – he'll miss a layup or the finger roll, or if he gets the offensive rebound, and this goes for the whole team, they'll get an offensive rebound, and what do? Instead of going right back up with it, they kick it out. And that goes back to the analytics, which is the whole, threes are better than twos and all of that. Now, listen, you can prove me wrong on it. I don't necessarily believe in it. I'm a little old school. But June ball is different than January ball, and all those baskets count. When you get an offensive rebound or you drive to the lane and you're 3 feet away, you've got to finish it. You can't kick it out there, and they do it constantly, which brings me to the points that you just made about in the paint and second chance points. The reason they're getting beat there is because if they get that offensive rebound, they kick it back out. When they go into the paint, they drive into the paint. I was at Game 3. I can't tell you how many times whether it's Tatum or Smart, pick your guy. He drives into the lane. It looks like he's going for a beautiful layup, and then he kicks it out. And I'm sorry, I think that's where the analytics get in the way.
Oh, but Steve, in fairness, the numbers wouldn't indicate that in Game 3. I mean, the Celtics outscore the Warriors 52 to 26 in the paint.
No, I understand that. No, but I did see it a few times.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I saw it in person. Not a lot. I mean, the Game 3, they won by 16. Even when they went down a point, I still felt good about that game. But I've seen it. I've probably watched more of this run than I have in a long time of Celtic basketball, and it's a very frustrating thing, and I understand half court isn't their strong suit, but I feel like when, dare I say, run and gun, I feel like that plays into Golden State's hands. I really do.
Well, and that's the problem, Steve. That comes back to, and I appreciate the call, Steve, that comes back to the whole turnover thing, right, Andy? I mean, the fact that when the Warriors, they legitimately, this is not like hyperbolic me saying this, they cannot beat the Celtics if the Celtics don't turn the ball over like crazy. Their half-court offense has not been good for the majority of the season. It's not an elite half-court offense. In fact, they had an offensive rating under 80 in the game the other day against the Celtics in the half court. It's the fact that the Celtics are giving them all these opportunities to get out and run. And this is the last team you want that to happen to, because ordinarily a team is getting easy dunks on the fast break. With the Warriors, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are getting open threes. That's death to the Celtics. So their bad offense is hurting their defense. So essentially what you're doing, Andy, when this happens, you are taking away your own strength. You have the best defense in the NBA, and you're taking that away by coughing the damn ball up.
And I'm with Steve philosophically. Unfortunately, Steve, welcome to modern basketball. Like, I hate the dribble through the paint. No, I got a layup, but I'm going to kick it to the guy in the corner because he's got a three, and if he makes 39% of his threes, blah, 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 blah. Like, I hate that crap. I think it in some ways has ruined basketball, but that's basketball in the NBA. It's basketball in NCAA. It's basketball in high school. If you don't like it, don't watch basketball. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just the way the game is. But in fairness, in Game 3, they were getting – that's why I was so alarmed by the numbers. Like, 38-32, the Warriors outscored them in the paint in Game 3. In Game 4. In Game 3 is the opposite, 52-26. The Celtics dominated them in second-chance points. How can it flip so dramatically in one game when you're the bigger team? Like, it makes absolutely zero sense to me. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Andy Hart, hanging out with you until 3 o'clock. And then, of course, the Red Sox pregame comes your way. So, if you do want to win in this, have you lost faith in the Celtics? Can they win 2 of 3 against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors? 617-779-7937, the number right here on EEI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Sox fell to the Mariners 7-6 last night. Bobby Dalbec gave the Sox a 6-5 lead in the ninth inning. Actually, just watching that right now. But another blown save for Hansel Robles, his fourth of the season. I'm watching that at the moment, too. It's worse watching it back, Andy, I'll tell you that.
Worse the second time?
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, this guy sucks. Dylan Moore, the walk-off single for Seattle. The Sox and the Mariners play the last of their three-game set this afternoon in Seattle. 4:10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Network. You can tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 3:10. It's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. I'll be with you for that. Robbie Ray and his tight pants go for Seattle. He has not been good this year compared to last year, the Cy Young Award winner. And Cutter Crawford is going to pitch for the Sox in an opener-type role. The NBA Finals now tied 2-2. Game 5 Monday night in San Francisco. The Seas are looking to respond after that loss in Game 4. The Lightning clinched a spot in the Stanley Cup Final for the third consecutive year after a 2-1 win over the Rangers on Saturday night. They wrapped up that series in 6 games. The Stanley Cup Final gets underway Wednesday night. Lightning and Avalanche. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
And Andy Hart is with us. We're with you until 3 o'clock. Then Red Sox pregame as the Sox and the Mariners go at it in the Pacific Northwest. Great uniforms the Mariners wore on Friday night. Those, like, aqua uniforms, Andy. You catch those at all?
They have, yes, sir.
Those things are sick.
Yes, they are.
Those
Big
are
fan of alternate uniforms.
I like am, that. Too. Like, my favorite Red Sox ones are the Navy. I like the Navy tops.
Okay. You don't like the city?
I like those too. The Navy ones are my favorite. But yeah, if I'm going to rank the alternate ones, I would go blue one, the Navy ones, of course, for the Sox. Then I'd go the City Connect, and then I'd go the red. I like the red, but I mean, I feel like the Red Sox have good alternates.
I like the red too. I've always wondered, do we like the alternates and like just because they're the alternative? Like they're the backup quarterback, and if you got them all the time, would you be like, yeah, I don't really like these anymore?
I don't think I'd be that way with blue. Like, if they never wore the gray tops again, I'd be fine with it.
I like when people call them tops, too. It entertains me.
What do you call them?
I don't know. I always think of, like, a blouse when I think of, like, a lady shopping for a blouse. Somebody says, I wore a top.
I got you. So, hey, just to put some context on what Curry's doing. So, his finals record for NBA, in the NBA finals, his record for most three-pointers made is 32. He did that in 16. He's hit 25 through 4 games. So he's probably going to break that, like, next game.
He's pretty good, you know.
Yeah, he has 137 points in the series. He's nearly doubled up any other Warrior. Thompson is second at 69. And how about this game that he had the other night? He scored on 7 Celtics. One of one against Jalen, 5 points. 3 of 6 against Horford, 9 points. 1 of 4 against Smart. Smart did a good job, but 4 points. Tatum, 3 of 6, 10 points. White, 4 of 7, 10 points. Rob Williams, 2 of 3, 5 points. Grant Williams, 1 of 3, 3 points. He scored on 7 Celtics.
So who's the only one he didn't score against?
I guess the ball Pritchard. Boy, P. Rabbit, Peyton Pritchard.
Wow, how about that? I'd be taking that to my grave. Yeah, he scored on all you guys. Maybe you want to step it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I didn't give up any points to him.
Peyton says, I got this, man. Let me get him.
What I do.
Coach, give me Curry. Give me him.
Yeah,
and
don't.
Curry is, I mentioned this briefly, he's shooting 50% on pull-up threes. He's 20 of 40 on pull-up threes. During the regular season, he shot 37.4% on those threes. So it's a significant uptick in terms of his production in the postseason. And think about this. 49 players attempted 150 pull-up threes this season, Andy. 6 were north of 40%. Curry shooting 50% in the NBA Finals when he should
great.
Be tired and wearing down.
And old. Yeah, it is amazing. Like, we're in this whole generation where we just accept these. Zdeno Chara, Tom Brady, Steph Curry. They age gracefully. But the Celtics, the young Celtics, with theoretically, I guess, the deeper team, better all-around team, although I guess that's also debatable, are getting beat by an old man single-handedly. Like, it really is just Steph Curry.
It is.
I don't want to oversimplify it.
There's nobody else you're scared of. Like, okay, Thompson may hit a couple of threes. Wiggins had a big game from a rebounding perspective. Looney's good in terms of his ability to get offensive rebound. I don't know what's up with that guy. His hand, like, everything sticks to his hands. I made the comparison the other day. Like, he's not a leaper. Like, usually you think offensive rebounders, you think Robert Williams, an athletic guy, right? Like, Marcus Camby back in the day. This dude, it's like he has that, you know, that game that kids play where it's like Velcro with a tennis ball and it just sticks to it?
Yeah.
That's what his hands are like. He just catches. I don't know how he does that. Like, every single. But you're right. Like, you're not scared of anybody except Curry.
I mean, you're losing to a team. You lost a game where the other team had two starters score 2 points.
Ugh.
Like, how does.
Yeah. Draymond sucks. I mean, that guy is horrible.
He does. He took himself out of the series. I swear to God, he took himself. Like, he overthought everything, and in trying to take the Celtics out of their game, took himself out of the series.
Yeah. How about this, Andy? So Tatum has 14 turnovers in the series. He has 14 made twos.
Wow.
He's shooting 27.
He's a coin flip.
Yeah. He's shooting 20.
Freaking coin flip.
27% on twos. And this is what irritated me the other night. Curry in the second half, 7 of 11, 5 of 6 from 3, 24 points. Tatum and Brown, 6 of 20, that's 30%. 1 of 8 from 3, 12.5%, 16 points. Curry outscored Tatum and Brown by 8 points by himself. That crap can't happen.
Who's your daddy? His name is Steph Curry.
You're right about that. 617-779-7937, the number. And, I mean, I go back to what we mentioned briefly. I hate the fact that I don't hate him. Like, ordinarily, right. I can find a way to hate guys. By the end of it, I hated Giannis because he was just, what's the comparison you made? He's like, did you say Jim Brown running or Earl Campbell or something?
Yes, he's Earl Campbell. That's how he plays basketball.
Like,
but Steph Curry actually plays legitimate basketball and kicks your ass while doing it and is likable while doing it. It is. It's infuriating. You know what I think this is? This is, we are seeing, from a New England perspective, what the rest of the country saw for so long with Tom Brady and the Patriots. The Warriors are arrogant, but their star isn't. It's their coach and their other players that are arrogant. Their star is like, wow, he seems like kind of a nice guy. He's got a nice smile. It's hard to hate him. This is what others around the country lived through with the Patriots dynasty. Now the shoe is on the other foot for New England fans against the Warriors dynasty.
Yeah, that is interesting. And it's just, man, this combination of fitness level and shot making, it is unbelievable to watch. Like, you hate it when it goes in, but you have to in some sense appreciate what the guy is doing, because it's the level of difficulty on this crap is unbelievable.
Unreal. And add in the fact, I keep bringing this up because I think this also gets glossed over, he had all those ankle injuries early in his career.
Oh, yeah?
And he wears these, I call them Forrest Gump braces on his ankles, and yet still embarrasses NBA athletes.
They look like air casts. They don't even look like braces.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and apparently there's like three parts to them.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be able to embarrass elite NBA defenders and athletes while wearing whatever those are, those ankle braces, you're right, they look like those air casts. You're in high school, you sprain your ankle, they put an air cast on. Now imagine wearing one on both legs and going to embarrass other guys who are supposed to be your equals or better as athletes and younger, and that's Steph Curry. He's just like, It's like he's the guy that tells you how he's going to beat you, then beats you, and you're like, how did he beat me? I don't know. He's just freaking awesome, and we're left to not even be able to hate him.
Yeah, I read an article on him a couple of years ago. Apparently, like, he had to, because he had all these ankle injuries, he had to, like, retrain himself on how to run. Like, they retaught him how to run, so he was, like, putting less pressure on them.
So my Forrest Gump comparison is actually accurate.
I mean, you're on to something, Andy. It's been a good show for you today. You may want to retire. This is one of your best shows.
Can I retire?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what your 401k looks like. 617.
Not great. Have you looked at the stock market? I don't think anybody's 401k looks great.
That's a good point. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Steve. Steve is in Fall River. Hey, Steve.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm all right. So I didn't see the game the other night because I fell asleep, but I heard people talking about the Celtics going out with a series that was two jacked up threes by Marcus Smart, a missed one by Al Horford, and then he made one. And I think, Brad, you went into a little more detail about what happened in that quarter, or I heard it more done about there was this 4 or 5 minute stretch.
Yeah, they went 0-6 in the final 5 minutes.
And then I heard that someone asked Tatum about it. One of the media asked Tatum about their problems losing in the fourth quarter. He made a thing like, we don't do it on purpose.
Yep.
Shouldn't that question have been asked to Ime Udoka? Because he's the guy that's supposed to be controlling that. Like, hasn't he
was
seen
asked about
what
the
you,
offense.
Me, and the rest?
He was asked about the offense.
Well, he's got some assistant coaches, too, right?
Yeah.
Haven't they all seen what we've seen? We kind of were expecting this game. Never mind actually when it happened.
Well, you didn't see it, though,
right?
We
were expecting it. No, but I'm not surprised they lost that way because they've done it so far in the series. And I'm not down on them. I'm not down on the players. I'm saying if Ime Udoka is going to get all the credit, that's where he has to step in and say, whoa, after the second. Halfway through that series, timeout, excuse me, hello, cut the nonsense. Draw up a play. You can't have a stretch like that. Now,
yeah,
I
well,
want to
Steve, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. So, okay, that's a fair critique.
Yes.
But would you blame him for any of the other stuff, like the turnovers or the rebounding? Don't you think that's something he emphasizes?
Yes, he does. But don't forget, going down and missing all these things creates more desperation on the next possession you go down for. It's all intertwined.
Right. I mean, Steve,
same
I just like Jason. if you want to nitpick down the stretch of the game and say, hey, they should have run
I'm
more.
I'm not nitpicking. I'm saying no. I'm not nitpicking, Brian. This has been constantly their problem. I think you had to call in and say the Celtics haven't lost except for the Jimmy Butler game. They've shot themselves in the foot. This has been a constant theme, like it's happening again, like you press the button. Here we go. I've seen this before. It's a repeat. But I want to say something about Jason Tatum.
Okay.
I don't care. Of course, he hasn't stepped up in the traditional way we'd like to see him do it, like Steph Curry, like this guy, like that guy. I'm not making a sweeping generalization on him this year. I don't care what he does the rest of the playoffs. I don't care if he doesn't even get 20 points in the next couple of games. I believe he has to get a pass because of his age. Now, I won't give him a pass a couple of years from now, but I'm ready to give the guy a pass, and I know he hasn't asked for the ball in the way a lead dog will ask for the ball. Otherwise, you wouldn't have six possessions where he didn't touch the ball. He has a little shrinking violet streak in him, and he's got to get over that. Maybe he's got to.
Steve, I am shocked of all people, Steve. I am shocked of all people to let somebody off the hook. You are going to let Tatum off the hook. I am shocked. I mean, this is history. Let him know, Steve.
But I'm not going to let Patrice Bergeron off the hook underperforming his whole career and being overrated and not performing in the playoffs.
Oh, jeez.
I give it to the guys.
Bergeron's
that
catching strays.
I don't give it to the guys that haven't gotten it yet. Now, I want to just wrap up with one more thing. Andy, you were down at camp telling me about the quarterback, right?
Yes. Yes.
He's in his second year.
Yes.
Are we going to be all whacked out after every game making these dramatic one-game opinions on this guy? No. He has to have 3 years.
Oh.
You can't.
How come it's three? Whoa! How come it's three in the NBA and like eight in the? I mean, three in the NFL, but like eight in the NBA. I'm interested in your whole measuring system.
It's not eight in the NBA. The kid's 24 years old.
Yeah, but how many years have been in the NBA? Whoa! What season is this?
What's it in WUSA?
Wait a minute. Keep in mind, you can never correlate one sport to the other. He came into the league as a young kid. I'm going by his
Steve.
Age.
What's it in MLB?
Age with Tatum. I'm going by chronological age with Tatum. MLB.
Oh, by chronological.
I'm going by chronological age with Tatum. You're asking me why? I'm telling you my criteria. Okay. I'm going by age with Tatum to be a guy that can overtake his teammates in personality and whatever, in commerce. Say, look, I need this ball. You get me the ball. Whatever. That takes a little bit of age. I'm talking about the quarterback. Complete.
What about Duncan? He did it in year two.
Yeah. What about Patrick Mahomes when he stepped up? Oh, different sport. Sorry, I broke sports. Sorry.
Steve,
it's enough. We've given you enough rope here. Judging him by chronological age.
I'm a big believer in special is special. Like if you're going to, the old Parcells, if he doesn't bark, bite as a puppy, he's probably not going to bite as a dog. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is Tatum's opportunity. You can't assume you're going to be here. Oh, we'll give you a pass. And in a couple of years, like you give Dan Marino a pass and then he never gets back.
What about chronologically, though?
Chronologically, he's still screwed.
Well, no, the other thing I say, too, is like I can understand critiquing the late game execution and saying some of that's on Ime because the team has been doing this all year. If you want to say, OK, take a timeout late, draw some. Fine. Run some sort of set. Get Jaylen the ball. Right. Run something like I'm fine with that. But I can't criticize Ime Udoka for the turnover issues and the rebounding issues. Like, obviously, we all know the numbers. He knows the numbers. He's emphasizing it. He emphasized the turnovers on the actual broadcast. So I can't put that on the coach. That's on the players. 617-779-7937, the number. Oh, let's get to our guy. It's Jonathan in Brookline. Jonathan, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I love the show. I got to start with this, Andy. I'm a big supporter of your take on chips. I lick Doritos, and everyone's like, oh, that's disgusting. If you just put a Dorito in your mouth, where are you going to get the cheese flavor?
Yes, you waste
end up
the
with
flavor.
A tasteless chip.
Yep.
You end up with a tasteless chip and nasty hands. And I'm not a supporter of that. All right, let's get into this.
A good chip needs to be licked.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a supporter of that.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I look at one basketball reference that I really like. It's called game score. Okay,
yep. It's a good
and
stat.
The average is 10, right? In this series, Tatum and Brown are hovering around 15, 15.1, 15.2. When I look at the last three NBA champions, the criteria for them in their series, respectively, is that one player goes above and beyond and goes crazy, and then you have two or three who are very good. Okay? I look back to 2021 with the Bucks. Giannis, 31.9. Of course, that is absolutely out of this world. But then you had Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday at 16.2 and 15.2, which are good. Okay? Then I go back 1 year. LeBron is at 27.5. And then you have Anthony Davis at 22.8. One more, Kawhi, 23.9. And then you have Pascal Siakam and Kyle Lowry at 15, both. So what I think is that if the Celtics need to turn it around, some of the, like, of course, Tatum or Brown need to turn around and become, like, have a dynastic and incredible end to this series. And then two other players need to just get to the point where they're hovering around 20, just so we can say, oh, they had a pretty good series. Because that's the formula to me for winning a championship.
All right, Jonathan. Hey, we'll be on after the game on Monday night. So let us know what the game score is after Monday night. I like that, man. He brings facts, Andy. I can appreciate Jonathan out of all people. And you can. I mean, this is basically the perfect caller. He gives us good numbers for me, and he supports your chip theory.
He's a smart man. He knows that if you want to get all the taste you can out of a good potato chip, you lick it before you eat it. But I need to go after him for a second
here. Whoa!
How come when it's like, who's the Celtics' best player? Whose team is this? It's always Tatum, Tatum, Tatum. Now, when you're in a dogfight, it's like either Brown or Tatum needs to step up. Either it's Tatum's team or it isn't.
No,
how come now it's suddenly, oh, Brown needs to... No, no, no. Brown's doing his fair share. Brown's good enough to win. The guy who hasn't been good enough to win consistently is Jason Tatum. So Jason Tatum needs to step up and play like Kawhi and Giannis and LeBron and whoever else you want to list in terms of teams when it's their team. It's Tatum time, not Brown's time. He's doing more than enough to win a title.
This is my second favorite take that you've had lately. The other one was the fact that they're hiding Kaylee. Like, I love that, that Kaylee, and maybe it doesn't happen. Like, that was my favorite because I don't want Patricia or Joe Judge to be the play caller. But I like this take because it is unfair. If we're going to praise Tatum up and down for every series win the Celtics have, and we're going to give him all the glory for that, then why now are we blaming Jaylen Brown?
100%.
Tatum's the guy that's not playing well. Jaylen Brown is playing well. So that's a phenomenal point out of you, Andy. I mean, it is a little ridiculous now that people are pointing at Brown. Brown needs to be... No, it's Tatum. Tatum needs to be better. Brown's been good enough.
It's all Tatum, and for some reason, he always seems to skate. When he's playing great, we go over the top with how great he is. And this isn't just a local thing. This is a national thing.
Yeah, because like, Tatum's been anointed.
They love him, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, but when you're in a dogfight and he's turning the ball over and he's going 4 for his last 17 or whatever the shooting was down the stretch the other night, or he's not scoring when Jimmy Butler's taking over a game, that is on Jason Tatum. If you want to be the man, you have to take the good and the bad that comes with being the central figure, with being the man.
Yeah, and it is kind of like a weird existence for Jaylen, right? Because you have Tatum, who is like the star of the team, the superstar, all that different type of stuff. And then you have all these role guys who are praising Derek White for a good game. Praising Al for a good game throughout this run. Same thing with Grant Williams, his game 7 against the Bucks. And Jaylen hasn't got nearly enough credit for the Celtics.
He is the most underappreciated high-end player, whatever you want to call him, star, all-star caliber player, I think, in all of sports. I think his lot in life in Boston is like, he never gets the credit and always gets the blame. People like to rip on him when he turns it over, when he looks awkward, dribble it, whatever. He does a hell of a lot for this basketball team, and it's always in the shadow of Tatum. And even Marcus Smart is like, defensive player of the year.
Heart and soul of the team.
Heart and soul. Like, he has his role. Tatum has his role. And everybody forgets that Jaylen Brown is as important as anybody to why this damn team wins.
Yeah. Respect Jaylen. That's what I got to say.
Damn right.
And show some gratitude for this guy, okay?
Yeah.
2 wins away from a championship. A large portion of why is Jaylen Brown. He was the best player for the Celtics when they won game one. No question about that. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Andy Hart with you up until 3 o'clock. We'll take you up until Red Sox pregame. So, have you lost any faith in the Celtics? Plus, we're going to do something next that nobody's done in the history of sports talk radio. We will give you a prediction for game 5 here on EEI.
Now, more of the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, welcome back in. Have you lost any faith in the Celtics? Andy Hart's with us as well. 617-779-7937 is the number. So I want to mention this real quickly, Andy, before we get back to the Celtics, because I feel like this is something that's right up your alley. You're a big pro football focused guy. I know this. So pro football. Have you seen this tweet, man? This is going to be one of the worst tweets in the history of tweets.
Uh-oh.
Pro Football Focus tweeted this out. How would you want your career to play out? 2 rings or a Hall of Fame with no rings? Would you rather? It's a picture of Chris Hogan, 2 Super Bowl rings as a role player, or Larry Fitzgerald. That's a legitimate question. This is blue checkmark, PFF. Yeah, who would you rather be, Larry Fitzgerald or Chris Hogan? If you ask anybody who Chris Hogan was out of New England, they wouldn't know.
Right. Maybe some lacrosse fans.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's a big lax guy. He's a lax bro.
This was a little different example, but this, didn't they get into this with LaDainian Tomlinson? Like, would you rather be a Hall of Famer or a champion? And he said, Hall of Famer, and people got on him, and I'm like, well, what does that mean exactly, like a champion? If you're a champion like Tom Brady, that's also a Hall of Famer, yeah, that's cool, but if I'm just a run-of-the-mill 52nd guy on the roster or a Hall of Famer, and as a Hall of Famer I don't win, but as the 52nd guy I win a title, I'd rather be the Hall of Famer. Like, I want to have fun. Everybody wants to be the show and the centerpiece and know, like, you're an all-time great. That's the second worst tweet I've ever read. There was once Cold Hard Football
KJ
Facts
tweet?
Once said that Bo Jackson wasn't really all that good because he never had a 1,000-yard season. And I'm like, you know he only played, like, the final 6 weeks every year, right? Like, pretty hard to have a 1,000-yard season.
Like, they didn't account for that?
He showed up when baseball ended.
Yeah.
dinks.
So and that, also,
those are your people. They get caught up in numbers and they can't see the freaking forest for the trees.
Well, maybe it's like they're not used to take, so they throw something like that, which is so idiotic. Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, in his career,
Hogan.
Just football, he made $180 million. And that's not counting all his endorsements.
Right, that's not counting all those broadcasts with Scratchy doing the Tom Brady interviews, and they're always tied together, those two.
And he made an all-decade team, and really, he had one of the best Super Bowl performances we've ever seen from a receiver. And like it's almost like, you know how the Julio Jones catch will never be remembered because, of course, Ryan took a sack after that? Julio Jones made legitimately one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my entire life in that Super Bowl. But like with Larry Fitzgerald, his game, that performance he had against the Steelers, he had the touchdown right before Ben Roethlisberger and company went down. That's one of the greatest He's one of the best playoff receivers ever. His numbers are ridiculous in the postseason.
It's so dumb. They should delete that. I hope some of the responses are delete this now. Like,
I mean, jeez, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. No, those are not my people.
Analytics people.
Yeah, okay, but that's
we're not all.
Andy, don't do that. Don't categorize people. We don't do that, all right?
You're right. That's not okay.
617-779-7937, the number. Hey, Strawberry Blonde, how many times do I have to tell you this? You've seen me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really know
the difference. What's the difference between Strawberry Blonde and Redhead? Like, I didn't know there was
okay, red is like Scal's hair. Strawberry Blonde is like my hair.
So, but is this genetically proven that you're not a redhead, you're a strawberry blonde?
I don't know if it's genetically proven.
Well,
I mean,
hair color is, didn't you do those, what do they call them, Punnett squares or whatever?
Well, some people, it can skip generations, you know what I mean? Two of my brothers have blonde hair, one of my brothers has brown hair. So, I mean, how do you know?
So you're not a redhead, though. You claim 100% you are a strawberry blonde.
Yeah, strawberry blonde, strawberry parfait, whatever you want to use, not redhead.
What was that word?
Strawberry parfait, yeah.
Like the dessert?
Yeah, like that color. What do you think, Stiz? Do I have red hair? Do I have strawberry
blonde? I think we've really struck a nerve here with you, Brian.
He is. He has something against redheads.
I don't, man.
He will do anything to not be classified
I'm not,
as a redhead.
I'm a big Prince Harry fan.
I think it's offensive to redheads everywhere.
I like Prince Harry because he makes controversy. I like Prince Harry, so I'm not nothing against redheads.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like it.
Not a Scal guy, though, I will say that. I like Scal, like all he did for the Celtics and all that. Like, he's entertaining, but his takes suck in terms of the Marcus Smart. Or his one take sucked, I should say. Smart's the best defensive player ever. Sorry. Come on, Scal. Pick it up. That ain't true.
He can be questionable at times. I had a little, not run-in. Like, he took it really well. It was fun. But when I was on the afternoon show with the Maloney and Fourier, and he kept saying how everything they were having problems with was about spacing and spacing on the floor and ball movement and spacing. And I said, so is this a coaching issue? Isn't the coach the one who should, you know, be drawing up plays and getting them spaced out on the floor? And he's like, no. Like, he didn't or couldn't criticize Ime. And then afterwards, he actually made a joke about how I asked tough questions and put him on the hot seat in the softball interview.
And I will say this, like, in defense of Scal, Andy, it's like he's got a really tough job replacing Tommy.
Yes.
That's like Tommy.
Well, it's impossible.
Yeah,
he shouldn't
do that.
You know how players like to say, I'm not trying to be the next Tom Brady. I'm trying to be the first Mac Jones or whatever. Like, just be yours. Because he can never be Tommy. He's not a Hall of Fame player.
Right.
He's not a Hall of Fame coach. He just, like, you're totally different. He's not even the imposing figure that Tommy was, like this just big, burly old man. Like, just be yourself and enjoy your lot in life. You know who he should be the next? Zoe. Like, you're kind of that level player. You're creating a nice media career. Or Jerry Remy. Like, you're creating a nice media career. He's probably not as good a player, but whatever. Like, just skate your own lane because you ain't Tommy. You'll never beat Tommy. Don't try to beat Tommy.
617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to George in Fairhaven. George, what's up, man?
Oh, I just want to say a couple things about the series. It's a proven fact that the Celtics only turn over like 10, maybe 12 times most. They win a game. They turn over 16, 17 times and lose it. It's cut and dry.
It's math, George. I'm with you.
It's math. Simple.
Every game. You got to stop that. And I don't know why what's going through Tatum's head and Brown's head. They're good players, but they make these stupid passes. I don't know what's going on.
I feel you on that, George.
They got to stop Steph Curry. Stop him from getting 40 points. Just keep him down to 30. They have a chance to win a game. He goes off on 40.
Again, math.
They're not going to win.
Yep. Less than 16 turnovers, less than 40 for Curry. I'm feeling pretty good about our chances. Now, is this as simple as, oh, wait, you can't do that. Shot clock violation is a turnover, right? Damn it. Because I was just going to say, when you get to the 15th turnover, make sure don't do anything in your power to not turn it over again. Don't even try to score. Don't do anything to go near any defenders. It's kind of like the old Rex Ryan theory. If they ran the ball 30 times with the Jets, they won. So I wondered why he didn't run the ball 30 straight times to start the game. It was math.
Yeah, that's like that idiot Matt Rhule. Remember what he said?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to have like an even pass run distribution, yep. And then he dared. What was the, he challenged Sam Darnold this year to run for like 70 yards and
78
he got
yards
hurt.
And he got hurt. Yep.
I don't mean to laugh at Sam Darnold. I just mean to laugh at the reason he was running is because the coach challenged him. He's not like he's an athletic quarterback, but he's not a running quarterback. I mean, that guy, Matt Rhule, he is a clown.
So what if the Celtics get to 15 turnovers and then just start jacking up threes as soon as they cross half court to guarantee they don't turn it over?
Well, you know what I call those, Andy?
What?
Shooting turnovers.
What if it hits the rim? Is that a shooting turnover?
It can be if it's a bad one like Marcus Smart, because then you get the Golden State Warriors out in the break.
Yes. I'm just being facetious. But yes, there are some simple numbers, and I agree with George. Did George sound a little like Maine-like from you? Did he sound like he was? I know it said Fairhaven, but George sounded like he was from Maine. To me.
Again, Andy, categorizing people, man.
He sounded like he was from Maine. Jeez. The old commercials can't get that.
Have you noticed this today? I mean, it is.
I'm not the one who offended redheads everywhere by doing everything in his power to prove he's not a redhead. What's wrong with being a redhead?
All I said is I'm not a redhead. I mean, I don't have anything against redhead. No, it wasn't angry.
Angry.
Just pointing out, Strawberry Blonde, man.
Parfait.
Yeah.
Pete's Strawberry Blonde. You remember those? You're probably too young for those.
I don't. What was it?
Pete's Strawberry Blonde. It was a beer brand back in the day. I think they went under, but when I was like early in college, it was a girl's beer, so to speak, not to offend the ladies out there, but I used to drink that, and then it went out of business. Pete's
you strike
Strawberry
me as it. Were you a big Zima guy back in the day?
No, something different? No, I was not a Zima guy.
Yeah, those commercials, man.
Something different.
All right. Let me try to get this back on track here.
Why do all hosts I work with say that? Every single host I work with is always like, let's try to get this back on track. Like it's
Does
my
Mutt
fault
say
we're
it?
Off track. Mutt says it, Fitzy says it, Nick Cattles used to say it, every single freaking host. I'll try to
put us all in the same box again.
You're all in the same box. You're a host that can't keep up with me.
Yeah, that's true. Your greatness, man. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to keep up with your greatness. That's what we're trying to do today.
That's right. Like the Celtics with Steph Curry. You just need to try to keep up with my greatness.
Yeah, so here's the thing about Curry that I want to mention real quickly here.
Hit him.
Would you? Yeah, hit him.
Bang him.
Off the ball, I would be doing that. They can't call it every time. They can't.
No,
I mean, it's
can't tow every car on the street.
Yeah, it's going to take away from the rhythm of the game. But the other thing I just mentioned real briefly here is, would you change anything in terms of how you're defending him if you're Ime? And what I mean by that is simply like when he's getting a high screen, would you blitz him? Would you try to get the ball out of his hand? Or would you keep doing what you've been doing throughout this series?
I would not keep doing what I've been doing. Now, I think there's a dangerous game you play there, as you say, blitz him. Like, he's good. Like, we talked about, we had somebody yesterday who was trying to say, like, he's as good a ball handler as Kyrie. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think he's nearly on that level. But he's really freaking good. And I think you run the risk of losing that scenario. But through four games, what you're doing is not working. Now, I guess one could argue the series is tied. You're not losing in the series, so you know, maybe this is the game they're playing. Like we were talking about earlier, somebody said Steve from Fall River was like bitching and moaning about all these various things. And I on one level, I agree with him. But you're in the NBA Finals. You went game sevens. You won game sevens. But in the end, what they did worked in this scoreboard mentality to win the series. And this series can be the same. You can get as frustrated as you want with the way they're playing defense on Curry or turnovers or rebounding or any other aspect. But they still have the chance to win the series. And in the end, There's no beauty points, right? It's just win the championship, win the series, and you're fine. But I would be looking to change something up on Curry because I don't think if you continue to do what you've been doing, you are going to win the series. I think you're going to be regretting a lost opportunity.
Yeah, like they've tried different things. Like I don't know why early on in the series they were dropping the big. So basically Curry was just walking into those wide open threes. And I would even argue that part of the reason Curry got so hot in this series is because he was getting easy opportunities early. And once you give a shooter like Steph Curry that type of leeway and that ability to take an open jump shot, he's going to catch fire, and he has throughout the series. Now, they have changed things up. Like, they've been having Al come up to the level and trying to challenge him there, so at least Al's going to hedge and try to get back, but they don't want to completely blitz him because it kind of takes away from, like, the ethos of their defense onto Curry. And they actually feel more comfortable, it seems like, with Robert Williams on Curry than with Al Horford. So they've made some adjustments. It's just, I feel like they just got to sort of mix their coverages, like throw different things at him. And I wouldn't even be opposed to just at the beginning of the first quarter in this game, just say, okay, we're going to blitz him for the first 5 minutes. Just try to throw the Warriors off. Now, the Warriors have been really good playing 4-on-3 in terms of throughout this run with Steph Curry, his tenure there. But what if you do it for 5 minutes and it throws him off? I mean, that 5 minutes could end up winning the game if Draymond Green is just cranking shots off the rim, right? Or he's not making the right play offensively, because the Celtics really haven't done that throughout this postseason. So if you can just, or throughout the series, I should say, if you can just find, like, to use the Alex Cora terminology, a pocket to take advantage of that, I would try it for a small amount of time, if you will.
Well, that's one of the things that is frustrating, is they are playing with four players, because Draymond Green is useless. He's been terrible. So you're playing 5-on-4 basketball, but I guess you could argue that, you know, much like the Patriots used to say Ed Reed was like having two safeties back there, they'd rather face any other team's two safeties than Ed Reed by himself. I think you'd probably rather face any two players other than Steph Curry by himself. Maybe he is actually two players, but they should have the opportunity. I also think they've been hesitant at times. I think both Horford and Williams have gotten caught in between. Like, they come out, but they're not, you know, they say commit to the bit in comedy. You got to commit to the bit. They don't commit to the bit. They don't commit to their role. And I think he's burned them on that a couple times. But I just don't think you can let him, you know, sit out there and go 50% from three. I think you need to be more aggressive on that and maybe play with fire, take your chances a little bit.
Yeah, it is interesting, too, because you're right. I mean, there's times where it does look like Al's kind of, like, confused on what the assignment
what
is, like,
doing?
What the coverage is. Yeah. So maybe you got to simplify it with those two guys in particular, but I just feel like you're going to try something different at some point during this game. I'm not saying stick with it the entire game, and you can get back to what you ordinarily do defensively when you have a smaller lineup on the court, but I wouldn't mind changing it up just a little bit just to try to catch him off guard, because right now you're not catching him off guard at anything.
Can you do that? Because I agree with you. In general, like defensively, philosophically, I always throw things at guys, see how they react. But when you get into these, you know, Tom Brady's, Steph Curry's, at their age, their experience level, their championship caliber experience level, it's like, keep throwing it at me. I've seen it all. What did Brady say? I have all the answers to the test. I feel like to some degree, Steph Curry is probably the same thing. Go ahead. I've seen it all. I've faced it all. I know how to deal with all of it. You can throw 3, 4, 5 different things at me, and I'll figure out how I'm going to beat you, because that's how good he is right now. He's on like a heater, and he knows he's going to beat you.
All right, Andy, before we leave, let's reinvent radio. Game 5, who you got?
Game 5, I'm going to continue to stay optimistic. The Celtics bounce back. They've been good in this spot, so gamblers talk about spots, even though it's on the road, and it's the Warriors, and you already took a game there. I want to be positive. I want to be optimistic. Celtics win in Golden State.
All right, well, the Celtics are undefeated in the postseason after losses.
Let's go.
7-0. They've outscored opponents by 109 points after losses. For whatever reason, this team could have an embarrassing loss and respond in a major way. I get the Celtics winning this game. Do it for Bird, McHale, Parrish.
Oh, boy.
Let's go.
Tatum, let's go.
Yeah, true. Thanks to Stiz. Thanks to Andy Hart. We'll talk to you later here on EEI.
See
you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.